Harry Belafonte, Paul Newman, Ossie Davis, Danny Glover, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, and millions of others around the globe to fight for the life of our brother in the struggle, Mumia Abu-Jamal, who is still in prison here in Pennsylvania for a crime he didn't commit. Right now, we have Pam sitting by our side, Pam Africa, and on our newsmaker line, we have a special guest, Professor Johanna Fernandez, who's going to join us in conversation. But we really wanted to get an update because the last time you were in here, it was a 911 with Mumia and his health and hepatitis C and not getting the medical treatment that he needs.
You know, in fact, it's worse today than it was before because although we have a judge who has clearly stated that Mumia should be given this medicine, you know, they haven't responded.
You don't respond to an order from a judge?
Not yet. He gave them 7 days to pull their team together and another 7 days to, you know, get them working to start that work on Mumia. And they haven't as of yet. You know, I was up to visit Mumia. He said, no doctor, no one has talked to him about anything. And his condition is getting worse. Mumia looks good. I'm telling you, Mumia
look
good.
But you can look good on the outside and have stuff going on the inside.
W-U-R-D. I probably wear my shirt with Mumia. We was going to take a picture because we're two proud members of W-U-R-D family.
Yes.
And the picture machine was broke. Mm-hmm. But I wanted people to see him. You see a man who is actually facing death, but he chose to live. He's in there teaching. He's in a singing group. He's writing more books. And Mumia's in a singing group. And with the conditions that he have, and mentoring other, you know, young men in the prison. And so, look, Professor Johanna Fernandez, who talked with Mumia recently, if we can bring her
in. Yes, okay. Professor is now on the line, so good morning to you. Professor, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for the invitation and for the conversation.
Yes. You wanted to finish off on what you were saying. You started a committee.
Johanna? That's with Joe, who's going to come on next, who do all the research into the hepatitis C, but Sister Fernandez got to get ready to go to school. She teaches as well. She's still teaching. So, Johanna, could you fill us in on what's happening with Mumia right now and your recent phone calls with him?
Yes. Mumia is very excited about the possibility that this hearing presents not just for him, but for the approximately 10,000 other people with hepatitis C in the prisons. However, last time I visited him, which was recently, his skin is beginning to act up again. As your listeners might remember, Mumia had a condition that was Job-like. His skin was very dark, leathery. And at some point, his ear was coming off its socket, its skin socket. And I noted that in his legs and in his arms, his skin is beginning to darken again. And this is essentially a byproduct of hepatitis C. And we're concerned. Mumia doesn't complain about his condition. We go in there and we inspect him. But we're concerned that the DOC is going to appeal this decision. Pam was mentioning that the judge gave the DOC 14 days to gather their troops, but 14 days for a doctor to see Mumia, and then 7 days after that, he ordered the doctors to actually treat Mumia. And we fear that they're going to retreat from that by appealing the court's decision, which is why we are trying to put pressure on the DOC, on the governor's office, this Friday at 4 p.m. In front of the governor's office in Philadelphia, to say to them, do not appeal this decision, immediately treat Mumia and the 10,000 other prisoners with hepatitis C.
My God. I thank you for that update, and that does make it a little bit more clear where we're standing right now. But it's just still, I'm stuck on this whole, a judge has made the decision, has made the call, but the authorities at the state prison level can drag their feet. I don't get it. I don't quite understand.
Yes, and you know, the judge was very clear in what he said. It took him a year to do this, and he first, you know, when he made his first decision, he ruled that, you know, Mumia should get the medicine because of the Eighth Amendment. He didn't give a time, but what he did, he gave the other side time to get the protocol right, because this judge said, you know, it's truly unconstitutional. And he described how I described it to you about the blood vessels busting in the chest, bleeding from the esophagus, and all, you know, these things that, you know, are so close to death. Another man has died. His name is Ricky Wilson. You know, who died up in the prison. Same thing, could not get the medication that is there. And they're refusing to give it to him. When I visited Mumia, his stomach is beginning to protrude out, and it's tight. And that's another sign of, you know, what's happening with the hepatitis C. I noticed a knot on his ankle. And when I go, when I'm looking from head to toe, I'm looking at eyes, everything. There's a knot that's protruding on his ankle. Mm-hmm. His legs are very dark. He's into the third month of having, you know, chronic diarrhea. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's all, you know, protrudes on the liver. The judge said that these people are deliberately withholding the medicine that could, you know, actually stop it, this life-saving cure. And these people still have not made a move. So what we're doing, and this is what Mr. Joseph Piette and I was going to talk about, and the cost. And because what this is, these are the terms that they're going to use to stop him
from trying to argue, to make their argument. So, Professor, if there was anything else that you wanted to add, because Pam did say you got to prepare to go teach today. So, if there was one more thing you wanted to add, we'll let you get that in, and we can let you move on, and we'll get Brother Joe on the line.
Yes, I think that as I was listening to Pam, part of what the judge argued in his statement is that the protocol deployed by the DOC against citizens of the state is barbaric. It is a protocol that essentially waits till the 11th hour to treat the patient once the patient is at death's door. And the cost is critical. And we live in a society in which costs are prohibitive, not just for hepatitis C, but for the treatment of common diseases. Joe will definitely talk a lot more about this, but in India, the medication is approximately $2,000. And here in the United States, the medication costs $94,000. That is going to lead to death unnecessarily.
For a whole lot of people.
It just speaks to the inhumanity of healthcare for profit in the United States.
I thank you for bringing that up. I thank you for calling in and peeking in on our program this morning. And we look forward to having other opportunities to talk with you in the future as we continue to do updates on Mumia Abu-Jamal. You have a great day ahead, Professor. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
And Joe joins us now on another line here in the studios at WURD. Joe, what's his last name?
Joe Piette.
Joe Piette. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
How are you
today? Thank you for having us on.
Yes, thank you for joining us. And you had some information that you wanted to share to help us further tell this story and update on Mumia Abu-Jamal.
The price of the medicine that would cure Mumia and up to 7,000 other prisoners is outrageously high. And it's not only high for prisoners, of course. It's high for anyone. Mm-hmm. On the outside, too. The price is up to $90,000 for the treatment, the three-month treatment, $1,000 a pill. And that's if the DOC does appeal, we expect them to say, well, it's too expensive to give prisoners. However, the actual cost of producing costing the medicine is pretty low. There was just a meeting in Boston in November. It's called the Liver Meeting, an annual meeting. And at that, there was a study that put the actual cost of producing Harvoni and Sovis Sulfosbuvir is only $62 and $80. But the current price is 1,000 times higher than that.
There should really be a law against that. I mean, just in general, not just for hepatitis C medicine, but for any of these critical medications that people need that can save their lives. Again, whether you're incarcerated or not incarcerated, this is America. How are we going to let people die or just live a life that is a totally low quality because they are in need of medications that are extraordinarily high that don't have to be high? I just don't understand how we in America can allow things like that to happen. It seems like the government should step in with these medication firms and pharmaceutical firms and put their foot down and say there ought to be a law against this, Joe.
Yeah, there was just 2 days ago, there was a lawsuit put in by the U.S. District Court in the Eastern District charging two companies with price gouging.
Price gouging. That's the terminology I was looking for. You just came up with the terminology out this morning. I couldn't get out. Price gouging. Yes.
Yes. And we're saying instead of refusing to treat Mumia and the prisoners with this medicine, they should be going after the companies that are overcharging. Those are the real culprits.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that you're correct. You want to jump in, Pam?
Yeah. I want to point out that Dr. Paul Noel, he's the the head of the Hep C committee that the judge ordered to get things started. They're in violation, too. The director of medical care for the Pennsylvania DOC and Hep C treatment deliberately denied giving direct action antiviral drugs to Mumia, knowing that it is standard care, and cites the American Association for the Study of Liver Disease and Infectious Disease Center for Control. You know, they must, according to law, give these drugs. So what we're doing right, because we have no intentions on, we're going to keep pressure. We've been calling the DOC and all for Mr. Wetzler and all, who is a black man, to do the right thing, because
right.
The law is on his side. Nobody asking for favors. Mm-hmm. A judge ordered this, and according to the infectious disease control, he is supposed to get that by law again. So being that Wetzler won't do, we're going back to the governor's office, because all of them is up under Mr. Wolf, Governor Wolf. So, you know, we've been doing phone calls to the DOC, and that number to Mr. Wetzler is 717-728-2573, and we're asking people to please make those phone calls, let them ring off the hook, because we're talking about stopping murders of thousands of people. It's over 7,000 people inside that prison, and once you get to where the part the esophagus is bleeding off, you go on a list. It's not like they're going to rush and give it to you. Mm-hmm. That's how these other two people died, being on the list of something they have in hand that is the cure for hepatitis C.
My God.
So we're going to be at the governor's office tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
Okay.
We're going to have a 4:30 press conference. And the reason why we go at the governor's office, because 200 South Broad, is because, yes, we're looking for attention. And, we bring them pots, pans, bang, bang, clang, clang, and to draw attention.
Yes, make some noise.
Yes. And before we go off, can you read this? Because my glass is not doing me a good job.
Okay.
This last part right here that
All
Dr.
Right.
Martin Luther King said.
And this is Martin Luther King III, the last part of his statement. Americans should know that the world is watching to see if she will do the right thing. Under the system of government dedicated by our Constitution, the judicial system is the final repository of public power. It should be held inviolate from racism and other prejudices which plague our society. We demand that all those with the power to intervene do so now in the name of justice. Do so now in the name of all that America holds, claims to hold, true and fair. Do so now in the name of humanity. Do so now in the name of all those who have already died to force America to live up to its motto of liberty and justice for all. Some of the words, again, as Martin Luther King III shows support for Mumia Abdul-Jamal. Thank you for allowing me to share that with our listening audience, Sister Pam. And you continue to amaze me. You are the kind of friend I think anybody in their right mind would want to have. You are a friend to the end. You're a friend in good times and bad. And you've been hanging in there with Mumia how long now? I've lost the count.
Mumia was arrested on December 9th, 1981. Mm-hmm. And I was with Mumia before then when he was at WDAS, mm-hmm. and he was fired from there, held a little demonstration, right out there.
Now, I thought that was from HAT. I'm getting my history mixed up.
I remember the one that you're talking about as well, too. And, you know, I just want to tell people, keep Mary Mason in your prayers. And
yes.
All, because, you know, she had, you know, we had different problems and stuff.
I talked about her last night publicly.
And, you know, she mm-hmm. did a lot of good for people, you know. And, you know, we can't let that slide by.
That's right.
So, you know, people, keep her in your prayers.
That's
and
right.
Whatever you can do. And, for someone I think is deserving.
Yes.
And I know we had our differences, mm-hmm. but Mary right. Mason, we just can't let her.
Mary used to chew me up and spit me back out sometimes
yes.
when she felt like it, you
yes.
know. Then on other days, hey, she'd say, come on, let's go get a mimosa. You know, you never could tell with
yeah.
Mary. But I love her, I respect her, and I recognize that Mary Mason cut a pathway for other Black women like me
yes,
to be in
did.
Broadcasting. She
yes,
was a
she
feisty radio personality for over 40-some years mm-hmm. here in Philadelphia. She is still alive. She's not in the best of health, but we love her. We're praying for her. And there are some people who are working behind the scenes on putting together a fundraiser for Mary Mason. But the only person that I think I will follow on that note would be a Sid Booker, because Sid has been a true friend to her,
yes.
and he checks on her all the time. And so if he's involved with the fundraising effort, I will follow.
I will be too.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. I thank you for coming in this morning. I love you on the move.
I thank you on the move.
Yes. It's never enough time. We could talk about Mumia and do more updates on everything that continues to happen with the Africa family and with Brother Mumia. But as long as I have an opportunity to be a part of Word or broadcasting and you're around, Pam, we're going to do our updates as often as we possibly can.
Right.
All right. Thank
you.
Again.
You.